Welcome everybody to episode 2 of Kevin, the Travel and Real Talk with Kevin. This week, we'll be talking to Mike Barnes, who we'll get to in a minute. But here we are. Let's give you some travel deals. Disney travel deals and news, I should say. Disney's making the Princess Half Marathon a marathon, virtual events. And registration is open as of now. It's going away from live events during this whole COVID incident. Another one is Palace Resorts just came out with a promo for 2 weeks. Staying at Palace Resorts for 2 weeks, starting at $3,500 for two guests. You have to book by September 30th and travel up. You can travel up to 12/21. Seems like a good deal. You get free Wi-Fi transfers, 30% off washing of clothes and whatnot. Royal right now has 60% off. Royal Caribbean has 60% off the second guest through the 2021 sailings. That offer will expire on September 30th. Waiting for the new one to come out for October for our new sailings, for our new deals. We'll be hosting a 2022 group cruise on April 17th to the 24th out of Bayonne on the Anthem of the Seas. It's going to give you 3 days at sea. Port Canaveral is one of the ports we stop at, Nassau, and Royal Caribbean's a perfect day at Coco Cay, which we'll dive into one day on here. Virgin Cruise Lines, I don't know if anybody knew that Virgin released their new cruise lines. They're starting to sail this year. They just released some new itineraries for the Mediterranean and the Caribbean with both their original ship, the Scarlet Lady, and their new ship that will be coming out in 2021. If you want to know more, let me know. Just for so you know, Virgin Cruise Lines is an adult only, and everything is basically included. It's like an all-inclusive on the seas. So that's where that's at. September 30th, we'll be doing a virtual cruise night with Royal Caribbean. Let me know if you're interested. And then my travel hack for this week is going to be learn the common phrases of the local language. If you learn please, thank you, I'm sorry, it goes a long way. It shows the locals that you took time to learn their culture, their language, so you can communicate with them and they'll be more willing to help you. So that's that. And we're going to dive into our guest in just a second. All right, everybody. We're here back at our little tribe here. I want to introduce our first guest, and you're actually the first guest for the podcast, is Mike Barnes. He's from the Barkan Foundation, Healing Hearts, all-around great guy. I went to school with him, didn't realize this is what he was doing till like 2 years ago when I got hooked into this Barkan Foundation, and man, it's been a whirlwind since. He's a father of two, there for his kids all the time, at all the sports, I see it all the time. Husband, I believe his wife's a nurse, and I mean, thank her for being one of his frontline supporters right now. And an avid Philadelphia sports fan, no matter how you shake it. I mean, he's just right. A great guy. He's a great guy. So I want to welcome Mike Barnes to the show.
Kevin, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It's an honor. We're so grateful for your support of the Barkan Foundation, your friendship. Most importantly, right back at you, I know how much of a great dad you are. It's been a challenging year for all of us as parents, but we got to keep bringing that positivity into the world. And, you know, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the Barcamp Foundation, some sports, and maybe some traveling.
Yeah, there you go. So what is the foundation? What do you do?
So 8 years ago, Michael and Ellen Barkan, I'm sure people will recognize the name. Michael is a sportscaster on NBC Sports in Philadelphia. They each year would host a golf outing, and each year they would give it to a different charity. This goes back probably about 15 years. So 8 years ago, they decided to open up their own foundation that would exclusively support local families in need with financial support. So they called me up. I knew Michael from my previous work at the Arc of Philadelphia. I'm a nonprofit lifer. I've been working in nonprofits since I was 13 years old with my brother Bill at the Easter Seal Society. So I got to know Michael and Alan when I was at the Arc. Michael was our MC at most of our fundraising events. And they called me up one day, 8 years ago, and said, "We're opening up our own foundation. You're running it." And I said, "All right, here we go." And we haven't looked back since. So in that 8 year time frame, the foundation is predicated on fundraising and fundraising events. So the last year for us has been extremely challenging, obviously, not able to have those events. What we do is we support local families who are referred to us by social workers. Social workers from CHOP, St. Christopher's Hospital, and they refer families to us who are very destitute, who have children in the hospital, or even parents in the hospital, or who have passed away, with families that are falling behind on their rent, their bills, who really need immediate financial assistance to fill the gap until they can get back to work. Because a lot of times parents, especially one single households with parents, with one parent, the mom or dad can't work because the children are at the hospital. So that's what we do. And what we really like is the fact that the social workers provide us, they're our stamp of approval, and they really provide us with stories with families that really, really need support. So our supporters, in turn, really like the transparency because they get to see exactly the families and the children that they're supporting. And I think that really means a lot to people. People have really responded well to that over the last 8 years, and we've become a family. We're not a big, big foundation. We're local. Obviously, you know, I live in Lower Bucks County. The Barkans live in Newtown Square. So we have both areas covered, and we meet halfway in the middle. But a majority of our events have taken place here in Lower Bucks County because of my relationships within the community here. And I can't say enough about the support that we've received, especially from people like yourself, our working people that have gotten involved. And you're a true reflection, Kevin, of what the foundation is all about. So that in a nutshell is who we are.
I appreciate it, you know, and like I said to you before, you know, since I re-met you since high school, which was 20-something years ago, I mean, this is something that, you know, I'm all about the kids. I have two kids that are adopted. I adopted my two kids myself, both with special needs. So I totally get what people are doing.
Sure.
You know, and I appreciate like work like this. So that's how I can, something I can support. You know, how can people help you?
Sure. Well, right now, that's a great question because we look very different than what we used, than we're accustomed to, obviously.
Yeah, like you missed your golf outing this year, yes, and a couple other events that you normally do.
Yes, so our major fundraising events, that's how we raise 90% of our money. So everything that we're doing right now is virtually. We have a back-to-school program. Social workers have provided us a few families, and we've raised money virtually for them. And I know you've been a part of our Holiday Hearts program.
Right.
That's coming up, and that'll start next month in middle of October, late October. And what we usually do is pick 10 to 20 families. And this year, instead of collecting toys, we're going to do gift cards and financial contributions, obviously, because we just can't deliver to families right now. So we've been providing much more financial support, more so than you're accustomed to with the toys and things of that nature. So we're sticking to it. the financial part. So, and it's all virtual right now. So the BarkCanFoundation.org is where you can go to check us out and what we have going out. And we apologize for being, but that's where we are today. That's where
So the people know, like, he's saying the holiday hearts in December, usually what happens is those 20 families, a whole bunch of people get together. We usually end up at Conwell Egan High School.
Exactly.
And it's one night, and it's a great time, great night. You know, there's food, and the people are just wrapping the gifts for these kids. You know, yes. And usually you get the Philly Fanatic to stop in, the bar can stop in, and you never know who's going to stop in.
Well, and to take it one step further, Conwell Egan and Neshaminy have been both incredibly supportive of the foundation over the years. Tom Lynch and his daughter Colleen, who you know, are incredibly supportive. So when we have that night at Conwell Egan, what we do the following Saturday is we go to the Philadelphia Eagles NovaCare Complex, and we invite all the families to come who we're supporting through Holiday Hearts, and the Eagles players after practice come over and help us with our supporters deliver those gifts to the families. And it's the most special day of the year for me and my family and our Healing Hearts family as well. And it's just very, very special. So that's going to look different this year.
I'm sure it is. And I participate in when we've been at Egan. I just never been down to the NovaCare Center with them.
Sure.
You know,
which is amazing.
I see the pictures and it brings a tear to my eye.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things, Kevin, we're so lucky to have, especially the Eagles organization, the Phillies, a lot of the players and the organizations as a whole have been so supportive of us over the last year, 8 years. And we wouldn't be here today without them. You don't hear about it, obviously. They do it privately and they're very, you know, they don't like to raise their hand and say, look what we're doing. But they've been so integral to our growth and development.
Absolutely. Because, you know, the Eagles, they usually their main focus is the autism challenge.
Yes, which they do amazing.
They do amazing. Well, my son's is autistic, and you know, I got friends' sons that are autistic. And in a couple of weeks, I'll probably be interviewing one of my friends that he's going to be participating in the autism challenge. So,
great.
I mean, but yeah, they don't say nothing to you about. You don't hear it on the news or nothing. They just keep it nice and quiet, which is great, which I love. We won't have no live events, probably not till 2021.
Exactly.
That way, right?
Exactly.
Man, that sucks.
It's tough. It's been very challenging, especially, you know, us, the Barkans, myself, and the people that are involved. We love people, and we gravitate towards being around people. And, you know, I always say this, and you see this on Facebook. To me, money, you need money to pay the bills, but in this world, it's all about people and, you know, sharing, you know, and giving amongst each other. There's no greater gift. And when your children are a part of it as well, that synergy, that positivity that manifests, it's so special to be a part of. And we're missing that right now because we just can't be together. And one step further, we can't be together with the families that we support just because they're compromised and they can't be around us. And,
right.
You know, and that kind of, you know, we miss it, you know. And if there's one thing that's happened this year, you know, our lives have changed in every way. And, you know, I've had the last 7 years, I'm running around like crazy putting these events together, which I love. And this year it's been a little different. But I'm proud to say thanks to all of you. We're continuing on and we're supporting families just how we've done in the past, just virtually. So that human element, that touch isn't there, but you know, we're still doing it, which I'm very, very proud of. And that's thanks to all of you.
And you know what, Mike, I mean, yeah, you've ran around getting these events together for the past 7 years or so.
Yes.
Lost a lot of time with your family. So this year, you know, you got to be a lot with your family this year, which is great. I'm sure you're home with the kids during the day, homeschooling them right now.
We're home right now listening to you, Kevin.
Teacher Mike, you know?
Yes. You got to wear a lot of hats, Kevin.
Yeah.
I will say, and I know you're people that are listening at some point when they get to view this video. Michael Barkham made a great point. I guess it was back in April when this all started. And here we are sitting together today in September. When in our lifetime as parents will we ever spend or have spent the amount of time with our children the way we have in the last 6-7 months?
Yeah.
What a gift that is. I mean, you have to look at things, you know, I think as the glass always is half full. And you look at that and it's a very good point. You know, the amount of time that we've spent, family's everything. You know, that's where it all starts with us as being parents. And, you know, I think Michael hit the nail on the head when he said that. And it really took me, you know, some time to think about that, even though it's challenging. My wife's at work every day and I'm here with the kids trying to do work myself. But it's an amazing thing. I mean, we'll never forget this, but the time that we've gotten to connect with our children and families is very special.
You know, Mike, how you said that, you know, to base off of that, you know, I'm a big Garth Brooks fan.
Sure.
And if you ever seen what he always says, there's always in the blessing, there could be a problem. But sure. In the problem, there's a blessing.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, you know, so they go hand in hand.
I like together. Garth Brooks myself, Kevin. You know, yeah. I like what he stands for.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, and I like taking my kids to these events to teach them the right way. You know, my like I said,
absolutely.
I'm fortunate enough. My two children, they had one's autistic, one has mental health.
Sure.
They have both me and my wife, and they get what they need. But the kids you are serving, they don't have that opportunity.
Gotcha.
And we want to give them that opportunity. You know, we want to teach our kids. That's the opportunity you got to give forward.
I think, Kevin, you hit the nail on the head. And I think there's no greater gift or something that you could teach a child more so than teaching the gift of giving and opening their hearts, and especially to strangers, because this is a different world. But when you can do that and have them see their impact and what it means, not only to the people they're giving to, but I always call it the deposit into their own heart. You know, it's like you have that bank deposit, but the most important deposit you can make is into your own heart. And I think for a child to get to feel that gift of giving and what it means to give, there's nothing better.
Not,
as a parent, nothing better.
Nothing better. So, moving on, you know, like I said, you're a big sports fan.
I certainly am.
You know, and I know not being able to be down the link on Sundays
for it's the hurting, yes.
is killing you.
It is.
You know, and sometimes I don't know how you do it. Seeing you down there tailgating, getting through all the games, and then like Monday morning you're up like at dark 30. Like, it's like, holy cow, how's he do this? Or, you know, some people said, Mike won't make it to this game because, you know, he was out late last night, and there you are, like, same Mike as usual.
Absolutely. So it's funny that you mentioned that, because a lot of times we would have events, Barkham Foundation, the night before a game, and, you know, it takes a lot out of you. I'm not missing Eagles games. I've been going to games since I was at Commonwealth League and in high school, and I haven't stopped since. Obviously, they're a big part of our family with the work that they've done. Not just with the Barkham Foundation, but the other charities that I've worked with in the past. But right. I look at Eagles football, and it's not just a football game and the players playing. To me, it's about getting together, tailgating with friends who you don't get to see throughout the year. And it's a very special part of, I know, of my life, and I think a lot of people that go, especially the Eagles games and the Phillies, Flyers, Sixers, feel the same way.
Right. And, you know, I worked down at the link for a couple of seasons.
I actually knew that. Yes. Yep.
And you know, I understand what you're saying. Like, it, you know, when you get back to the next season, your season ticket holders came in. It was like,
yes,
a whole different world. Like, it was great.
It really is. And the people that we tailgate with, it's like a family. We were in the same spot every game, and you look forward to that. And like I said, that's another thing that's missing, that human connection. And one of the cool things that we did when we had the draft is we had a Zoom call during the draft with all the people that we tailgated with. And, you know, right. even that too, when you look at the Eagles games, tailgating with people, it gave me the opportunity to talk about the Barkan Foundation, what we did. Now we have so many people who have become a part of what we're doing with the Barkan Foundation who simply are a part of our tailgates at Eagles games. So you have that synergy. It brings people together.
Right. And you know, one person tells 20 and that's exactly how it grows.
And I think that's, to me, the best part of an Eagles game is you're at the game, and a lot of the people that I sit around, I know, but there's a lot of people you don't know. And when you score a touchdown or there's a great play, you're high-fiving people that are complete, but you're together as one.
Right.
For those 3 hours at an Eagles football game, you are there, you're one city, you're one team, and you're one people. And I don't think, to me, that's what makes it really special. And the year we won the Super Bowl,
oh,
it was a party.
It was a party. And, you know, everybody gives Philadelphia the bad, especially the Eagles, the bad rap. Sure.
Absolutely.
And I tell people, listen, it's really not that bad.
No.
Usually if you get the fights and all, it's usually the other team's people fighting the other team's people. It's no, and sure, every once in a while you'll have an Eagles fan in there, don't get me wrong.
Absolutely.
No, or it'll be an Eagles fan fighting an Eagles fan or something stupid.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have that anywhere you go, and it's unfortunate that it does exist even till today, but I'm not for that. I don't need – that's a whole other
– In my years working down there, I never had a fight in my section.
Good. Very good. I'm happy to hear that.
I had great people, and they would say, yo, knock it off.
Yep. But, I mean, listen, we have a good time. We go down there. I mean, I'm not
– Everybody has a good time, you know? Yeah.
That's for sure. I can certainly say that I do.
From the workers all the way down, you know, they have a great time. And the Eagles take good care of those workers too. I will say that. You know, I am a little disappointed with the Eagles this year though.
Okay.
Besides being 0-2.
Okay.
That first game when they didn't come out for the national anthem, that kind of hurt me.
Well, I'll tell you what. Kevin, you know I have a unique relationship with the organization.
I know.
And I will say that my father was a Marine, and all my uncles went to the Naval Academy in Annapolis. So we are a very patriotic military, and we love our country. And, you know, I think a lot of people have their certain views right now on what's right, what's wrong, and we all have our freedom. And whether we agree or disagree with that particular moment of what happened, of not coming out for the national anthem, one thing we have to continue to celebrate is the people that protect our freedom.
Absolutely.
And allow us to have our freedom. So I don't want to bash the Eagles and their players over that. I don't agree with it. I will tell you my favorite thing about going to an Eagles game is standing for the national anthem. And I think it's, yes, our country has made many, many mistakes, but when we stand together for the national anthem, it's we're still one, and we're still trying to reach what America stands for. And that's, to me, one of the biggest and most special aspects of going to a game.
Absolutely. And, you know, like, I was in the military. I do have family members that were in the military, so I do support the military, you know. Sure.
And thank you for your service.
And, you know, being in the fire service, you know, it's almost like military. But like I said, everybody's entitled to their opinion and how they want to act. And I have no problem with that.
Absolutely.
But and I seen the video not too long ago, again, from I believe it was West Virginia or Virginia Tech coach.
Okay.
He brought his basketball team out and he had veterans lined along.
I love that video. I know the video very well.
And how he said it, that we didn't earn them seats. They earned them seats.
Exactly.
That's, you know, that and that's my belief, you know.
I have the same belief, Kevin, but I will say this. When you look at an NFL locker room, and we're talking NFL, and you can speak about high school and college too. When you look at that, that is a true depiction, really, in my humble opinion, of what America looks like. And America is filled with great races, great religions, great people. And that could, the same could be said about an NFL locker room. You have young guys from all over the country, from different backgrounds, different religions, and different parts of the country. So my point is, when you're a team, I know for sure that not everybody wanted to necessarily not go out for the national anthem. But I think what happens when you're a team and when you're a part of a coaching staff, if a majority of the team feels a certain way, then I think you do, you go together as a team. And
absolutely, they're going to stay united, you know. They're
going to stay united. And but like I said, I'm not here to defend them, and I'm not here to know what they did either. You know,
right. I'm just voicing my thing. I'm not bashing them. You know, and actually, I'm a big Green Bay fan too. So I mean, I got the best of both worlds here.
Speaking of traveling, if you ever go, I've been to Green Bay twice for Eagles games. Probably the best experience I've ever had from a sports perspective, and even traveling. It was the two of the better weekends I've ever had in my life.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
I want to get out to Green Bay. I haven't been there yet.
Nothing like it. And I've been to Yankee Stadium, Fenway, Wrigley. But to me, there's nothing like Lambeau Field and Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's amazing.
How you get directions from the wife first, you know?
Now the boss is always around, you know?
That's it. That's
listen
it.
To the boss.
You know, and what do you think of these Phillies? You think we're going to make in the playoffs or what?
I think it's tough. I think they're in a tough position. You got a lot of injuries. You know, I think when you look at their management and you look at the Eagles, man, I think there's a lot of parallels right now, and I think both organizations have a lot missing. You said that I'm a big sports fan, and I am, but Eagles is what I really 24/7. But I watched the Phillies with my son, and you know, I think they've been up and down all year. They don't have the pitch. I mean, look at Aaron Nola, how well he's doing. He's phenomenal, mm-hmm. but they need more Aaron Nolas, and they need a bullpen, which is very obvious.
Right. I think Girardi's doing the best he can with what he has.
Yeah, and I think looking forward for them, whether they make the playoffs or not, is re-signing the catcher. And you know,
and he's back in their lineup for tonight. I know that.
Yeah, so. I mean, I think that's going to be huge for them. I think he's probably one of the best in baseball, if not the best, right? And but my bread and butter, as far as talking anything, is about the Philadelphia, and it's been an 0-2 struggle so far, and it hasn't been. Yeah, you know, I was really looking for Eagles football to really bring some joy and happiness, and it just hasn't been there. And they got a lot of problems right now.
Yeah, you know, and I had to chuckle because I at work the other day after the Eagles game, they put on the Dallas game with Atlanta, and I seen fans in the stands. And I'm like, oh man, what I would give to be in a stand right now.
Yes. Yeah. No. That was a tough. The way that Dallas won that game, I mean, give them credit. But they got lucky.
They won the Super Bowl again.
Yeah, they got lucky, but Dallas wins a lot of games like that. And
yeah,
as we know, but the Eagles are struggling right now, and they've got to find a way to turn it around and turn it around quickly.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people look at it being Carson Wentz, and it's not all Carson Wentz.
No.
And I think if you look at where they're having their troubles, and it's been with their drafting over the last 3 years and lack thereof. And now it's coming into fruition and being a big catalyst to why they're struggling. So,
yeah,
I hope.
And I like Carson. I really do.
We know him. We've gotten to know him very well. And we knew Nick Foles very well when he was here. He's one of my all-time favorite Eagles. But Carson's a very special guy. I just don't think they've given him all the tools that he needs to be the elite quarterback that everybody wants him to be.
Right.
Yes, he's not playing well. I'll be the first to admit it. He's not playing well at all. But there's a lot missing on that team right now, and it goes way beyond him at quarterback.
And you know, ever since he's come to the Eagles, he's always been criticized.
Yes.
From former Eagles to the media.
No doubt about it.
Which, I mean, the media in Philadelphia, that's the game you play in Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
But, you know, from former players, you know, to.
And you know what I say, and speaks to his character,
He hasn't said nothing.
Nothing. He goes about his business. He runs the AO1 Foundation with his family. People don't even realize he's probably raised $10, $15 million for the city. He does it quietly. He doesn't raise his hand. And he is an extraordinary young man. Now, he's not playing well. That's what he's paid to do. I get it. But there's a lot to be said. There's a lot of pieces missing that he's not playing with, and it's not an excuse. The fact of the matter is he has not grown since he's been a rookie with one wide receiver since he's been here. It's changed every year. Mm-hmm. Yes, there have been injuries. And the 1 year that he had Alshon playing at a very high level, they had a lot of success in their running game. Alshon played out of his mind. He played hurt. Nelson Aguilar had a great season. But since then, talk right to me about the receiving core, and it has not been there. And you need guys to be – there's five plays every game in an NFL game that decide a game. And we do not right now, in my humble opinion, have the guys at receiver to make those plays and make him the elite quarterback that we think he is.
You know what? And Carson's character is a reflection of his parents. Because I don't know if you noticed or not. Where I was stationed for my games, I was in 132.
I know that's
132.
Yep.
Okay. Carson's very first NFL game, which was a home game.
Against Cleveland,
if you remember it.
Yep.
Do you know his whole family had one whole row in section 132?
Oh, I can believe it. Sure.
I was shocked. I was actually shocked. Going, why would they put his family down there? Why didn't they put him in a box? Because if something happens wrong here, they're going to boo him out of the stadium. Nope. They were right there. I met him. It was like his mom, his dad, his high school football coach, his college football coach, his sisters.
Sure.
All nice people. All great people.
Carson and the Eagles as a whole have very good guys from a organizational perspective. They have a lot of good guys. Zach Ertz is another one.
Yeah, and you know what's neat about that too is you're sitting there to watch. I'm watching the game from like because I'm above them, just watching out, and you see Vince Papale come down, sit down, and talking to Carson and Wentz's dad during the game. Like
well, you know, we're very close with Vince.
I know you are.
Yeah, Vince. That's what I love about the Eagles. They've really – Jeffrey Lurie has brought the alumni back, and Vince is obviously a big part of that. John Runyon, who we know very well, and obviously you've seen Fred Barnett and
– Fred Barnett.
Mike Quick. Yeah, the Eagles, like I said, it's a big family. As is the – you know, and I like to take it one step further. The Phillies, more than any organization in Philadelphia, are run as close to a family as you can in professional sports.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
You know, the Sixers are not. They are not run like a family. They are a business. And the Flyers, we all know about the Flyers. I mean, they've been ingrained as a part of this community since
1970 something.
Yeah, I mean, they've been here, and you know, I wasn't brought up on hockey, but I love my friends that are hockey fans because they are to me some of the most loyal and passionate fans.
Oh.
In all of sports, the Flyers fans.
I actually have one client of mine through the travel. She went out to Arizona last year when they were playing in Arizona for like New Year's.
Sure.
She went out there for it. She's like, just book me everything so I can go out to the game.
Where in Arizona?
They went to Phoenix.
Phoenix. My very good friend from the area lives in the Scottsdale, Tempe area, and I love going out there. It's one of my favorite areas of the country. It's beautiful. But
that's where the you know Coyotes play. You know,
sure.
She went out there for the whole. She only went out for the weekend. She flew out Friday game with Saturday. She flew home Sunday.
That's how we are.
It's great.
That's how we are.
You know, and there's some great companies out there that put these packages together. You know, you got the Fans of Philly and all that.
Well, I've done a couple with the Green Legion over the years. But I'm a person that likes, and you're not going to like to hear that. I take a lot of pride in traveling and trying to put – one of the best parts of traveling for me is putting together my travel itinerary and looking up and researching all the hotels and where to eat And I know that's what you like to do, Kevin. So I want to ask you, as somebody who loves to travel, where is your favorite place or destination in the United States of America or the Caribbean to send people? And why?
My favorite destination? Well, in the United States, my favorite destination is actually Chicago.
Love Chicago.
Love Chicago.
Don't love the Dan Ryan Expressway, but I love Chicago. Oh, yeah.
That makes the Schuylkill look like silly, yeah, you know?
Exactly. But no, Chicago's a great city.
I love Chicago, especially I love going to Ditka's.
Yes.
You ever
Ditka's? I've eaten at Ditka's and Harry Carey's.
Yeah, Ditka's downtown. I go to the one downtown and love it.
Okay.
You know, I think that has the best steak I've ever had.
Yeah, no, it's good. I totally agree. You know, Chicago's, if you haven't been there, it's just a great town altogether with the sports, the music. It's just a great town. And it kind of reminds me a little bit. It's like the Philly of the Midwest.
It kind of is, you know. And when I would go there, like, I have family there. So
right.
my aunt and uncle, they lived in the Polish section of the town, which is on the east, which is on the east side. Everybody's like, there's no east side of Chicago. Yeah. Like, they literally lived on the last street of Chicago, and then it was Indiana. Like, that's how far it expanded. But, you know, traveling just to get downtown, going through the different, it was just so neat to see.
Oh, I love Chicago. So one of the reasons that I would fly into Chicago is my neighbors went to the University of Notre Dame. So you would fly into Chicago and drive over to South Bend.
Right.
It's just a great city.
Yeah. I mean, I drive out there. It's 11 hours.
Oh, wow. Yeah. The biggest, longest drive for me is to see my in-laws in South Florida. And I'm done.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
But I mean, I've taken my kids to South Bend.
Sure.
Notre Dame, you know, and just take them on the University of Notre Dame to see Touchdown Jesus.
I love Notre Dame. What a great weekend that is.
I want to go there for a football game. I haven't been able to get there yet for a football game. But
I've been for many, but it's a wonderful weekend, especially if you go for football. But talk to us about what's going on at Box Alarm and how are things going?
Well, we're starting to pick back up, buddy. You know, 2020's been tough.
To hear.
What we've been doing is we've just been doing a lot of, you know, learning some more about some more places, catching up, you know.
Okay.
There's some good stuff coming out, you know, great deals right now, especially on cruises. Right now, like Royal Caribbean has 60% off second guest, you know.
Wow.
That's big. That's
now,
big.
Some of the cruises have extended their shutdown into 2021, correct?
Yeah, Carnival's extended to 2021. Okay. Actually, Royal Caribbean and Norwegian just put their stuff out to the CDC.
Okay.
And they're expected to be sailing by November 1st.
Wow. Now, I don't know if
you knew that. Out of Florida, and then eventually it will work back up. You know, Royal Caribbean does sail out of Bayonne, New Jersey.
I did know that. So I don't know if you knew this about me and Heather, but when we first met, her family moved to Boca Raton, Florida.
Right.
So Heather and I lived there for 2 years. So one of the luxuries that we had living there was getting to hop on a cruise ship for 3 or 4 days. We did it a couple of times.
Yeah.
We really enjoyed it. But I know that's a big business, and I'm hoping that gets going soon. I know that's a big part of what you do.
Yeah, it is. You know, and I'm actually putting together – I know 2022 is a long way away, but I'm putting
together –
It's
really not, Kevin.
Huh?
We're almost in 2021. It's not too far.
Right. But I'm putting together – I got a group cruise out there for anybody that wants to come. You know, it's payment plans. I'm making it – trying to make it easier on people. You know, you pay like a deposit. You can pay a little bit at a time all the way up to like 45 days.
That's fantastic.
So
that really helps people, especially times are tight. It's challenging.
Yeah, I try to make as much – payment plans as I can for people just because it's easier.
Sure.
You know, I get it. You know, especially in our area. I mean, we're middle class people. We work hard and we don't have all that much money.
I have to say, one of the things that I've loved over the years, especially since I met my wife Heather 20 years plus, we traveled a lot when we were a young couple, and I'm so grateful that we did. Obviously, kids are front and center right now in their sports and their education paramount, but we traveled a lot when we were younger, and I'm really grateful that we did, because it's such a special gift to get to see not only parts of this country, but to go to places. You know, we went to Maui on our honeymoon, and
yeah,
we went to Cabo before Cabo was, you know, really a hot spot to go.
And yeah, now that's like one of the hot spots right now. Yeah,
I had never really heard of it, and we're like, let's try that part of Mexico, and we went there, and it was just still developing. It's probably about 15 years ago, and it was one of my favorite trips. But I personally have a passion for what you do. I love traveling, and I think anticipation in life is one of the biggest parts of life, and that anticipation of going on a trip with your family or with your wife or your friends, there's nothing like it.
Yeah,
almost we got the actual trip.
Yeah, we got to get you on a cruise ship though to Royal's new private island, Coco Cay.
I'm sure. That would be.
Oh my God.
A lot of our vacations anymore are actually to Florida, because that's where Heather's parents live. And but we would love to get on a nice family vacation soon. It would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, just let me know. You know I'm here.
You know, a lot of what we've done too, Kevin, is we've gone to Maine. You know, a lot of people obviously growing up here love the Jersey Shore. And I grew up on it. I went to Ocean City every year, every summer with my family. But I think you really have to explore, especially by car, you know, 3 or 4 hour trips. You know, there's a lot to do. You know, you don't have to do those 15 hour deals. I mean, you go up to Maine, Vermont. I mean, it's so beautiful.
I mean, me and my wife, our anniversary is in October.
Us too.
When's yours?
October 6th.
I'm the 8th.
Ah, well, happy anniversary.
Yeah, you too. So usually like that weekend after or the weekend before, we usually do like a B&B and go. And we went up to Vermont and, you know, it was so nice. But the funny part is we waited 2 weeks because, you know, a week before the bed and breakfasts were charging premium money because it was the fall foliage season.
The foliage at peak.
Yeah, at the peak.
For the foliage, well, okay.
The week we went up, they still looked the same from when they were there 2 weeks ago.
Right.
It was, like, a lot cheaper. So, I mean, that's
– yes.
And that's some of the stuff I do. I look at it for you and go, hey, you know what, you might want to wait a couple weeks just to
– No, it's a great point. It's a great point.
Let it pass.
Well, what you do for your clients and is awesome, you know, and keep it going. But we got to get – I mean, that's one part of the economy that we have to get rolling again. And
oh, absolutely.
You know, we hope it sooner than later, you know.
Absolutely.
And we got to get people healthy. We got to get through COVID, and hopefully we're at the latter stages of where this all is going. But let's keep it moving, you know.
That and getting the kids back into schools.
Yeah, that would be great, you know. God bless the teachers and the administrators, the educators. We know a lot's been put on their plate right now, and but. I think a lot of times they maybe misconstrued a guy like me who loves our teachers. I want my kids back in school because they miss, you know.
It's that social aspect.
Well, not only that's a big part of it, and I agree with that. But teachers are such an integral part of your team for your children.
Oh.
You talk about, you know, building a positive team, and it takes a village to raise a child.
And that's part of your village.
They're the biggest part of the village, and they're with us. When you look at a day, 24 hours, they're with us 8 hours, and with their teachers the other 8 hours. Think about that. And the other 8 hours, they kind of sleep. So that just goes, when you break it all down, they're such a big part of our child's lives. We love them. No, they're not babysitters. They'll never be to me. They are educators, and they are heroes. But we got to get our kids back to them because they're missing them.
You know, my wife's a school teacher, and she's home.
Thank you.
She's home doing virtual teaching from here.
Yep.
And she hates it. She goes, I work harder now than I do when I'm in school.
My brother is a teacher.
She does.
She does the same thing. Yep.
You know, and it's like every night she's on the computer until 12:30, 1 o'clock, and she's a special ed teacher, so she's
sure.
She really has some kids that she has to take care of. But, you know,
well, that's great. thank you for what your wife does. And I'm, you know, they're love teachers, and we celebrate their work and we appreciate what they do. But ultimately, the goal is to get the kids back to them because they missed them.
You know?
So that's that. And what else do we have, Kevin? Anything I can help with, or
you know, Mike, if you know anybody that wants a vacation or, you know, start looking at vacation, just send them my way, buddy.
Sure. And how would they get to you, Kevin?
My email is boxalarmtravel@gmail.com.
Okay.
Or, you know,
say it again, boxalarmtravel@gmail.com.
@gmail.com.
Okay. Do you have a website? Is that the
usually I just use my Facebook. I do have it's boxalarmtravel.com.
Okay.
And they should be able to connect that way too.
And what kind of trips are you specializing in, Kevin, so people know?
I do it all, buddy. I'm like a master of all. But I do cruises, all-inclusives, Disney, Universal.
I know you've done a lot of Vegas, correct?
I've done Vegas, you know. And I try to, you know, promote what when I got people going. I got some – I don't know if you know Jamie Armstrong. She was in 94.
Yes.
She was supposed to go this year to Panama.
Okay.
And with COVID, it pushed it back. So she's actually going next year. And
that's a smart, wise decision.
Panama. So, I mean, and the good thing about her pushing it back with this whole thing is she got like 125%. So she was able to get an extra night out and upgrade her rooms. And great. It was great.
Where do you book people for Vegas? Because Heather and I haven't been there since we were probably 21 years old, 22. So I know it's changed as Vegas changed by the year. Where's the place to stay now? I mean, I know we stayed at the Hard Rock and
I got people staying all over. I know some people like the Planet Hollywood.
Okay.
You know, I stayed at Caesars in February for my conference.
I know you went to the conference. Yes.
You know, and that was actually my first time in Vegas.
Okay.
And I was just like, wow, I got to go back. You know,
I
didn't have
Vegas.
Enough time there.
Yeah, I don't know that it's somewhere I would go now having children and having such a small window of time to be able to go somewhere, but
I couldn't believe how many kids I seen people walking through.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I want to go back just to go see the Hoover Dam and, you know, all that stuff. I didn't get a chance to do that.
Speaking of which, one of the favorite things that Heather and I did as a couple, and we did it twice when we went to Vegas on two different trips, we took the helicopter from Vegas into the Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. And I think the Grand Canyon is one of the most extraordinary places in our country, you know, and it's an amazing place.
Another place I want to get back to, actually, Mike, is actually South Dakota. I want to get back to Mount Rushmore. Never been.
Can't wait to check it out.
What, you know, when we're all done with this and you're ready, let me know because I know perfectly what to do for you.
Oh, I would love it because it's somewhere that we've always had on our, and I would love to take the kids.
Yep.
You know?
So. All right, Mike, I want to wrap this up.
Great, Kevin.
I want to thank you for coming on, buddy, and I really appreciate it. Where can people go to for your foundation?
Sure. It's Kevin. Thanks for having me today. I really appreciate it. It's thebarkanfoundation.org. The Barkan is BARKANN foundation.org. And I just want to thank you, Kevin, for all that you do for people. You have a heart of gold. You're one of those people that always gives back and finds time, you know, any way that you can help others, you're always doing it. And we need more people like you in this world. And thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. But let's get you going with Box Alarm Travel and get you some business. And let's get people going out again, you know, and traveling places. So the Barkan Foundation, thanks for what you do for us. It means the world.
No problem, Mike. Thanks a lot.
All right. Have a great night, Kevin.
You too, buddy.
Thank you.